Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 288.
This week on the podcast, apparently in this reality, a porn star's lawyer can outsmart the president's legal team without breaking much of a sweat. America!
And we're still waiting with bated breath for that big, beautiful, shiny new Iran deal.
Plus, Eric Schneiderman aimed to ruin Trump's life, but totally ruined ours instead.
And John McCain is giving us all a lesson in how to really kill at dying.
Plus, in a surprise turn, China people is not the preferred term in West Virginia. Progress?
And what's Trump's least favorite thing? Presidenting. What's his favorite thing? Toys and soda.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
You'll be hearing this on Monday. And if you didn't remember, it's too late.
That's right.
If you didn't call your mom, I would pretend you don't know her.
Right. You can't call her and tell her Happy Mother's
that
Day
up. Yeah.
Right now.
No. Yeah. But if you remembered, then good work to you. Yeah. Congratulations.
It'll be interesting to see whether Donald Trump remembers by tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because he remembered his own mother, but he forgot the wife of his children.
So true.
Or
sometimes
one child, I guess.
It's hard when you're that much of a narcissist to remember that other people are mothers in your vicinity.
Well, when you've been married this many times slept with this
many,
many
mothers.
People, it's just sort of like, who are you supposed to be thanking on Mother's Day? It's confusing.
It's too many mothers.
Yeah.
It's mothers coming out of his...
That's right.
Mothers
and then he's
everywhere.
Cheated on, like... You know, one mother with a different mother, too. Like,
which
what are you
takes
supposed
priority.
To, what are you
it's
doing
It's so hard
that
to know.
Yeah.
And he's here to tell us we don't need to know.
Well, no, because he's
as long as you're
us.
Thanking his own mom.
Right.
You're all set.
He's also here to tell us that there are no black mothers
That's right.
anywhere in the world.
Because, certainly not in the military, where 60% of the military is of color, people of color.
Right, because they did have an event this week at the White House.
Melania
so he did,
basically.
Yeah,
you know, Trump and Melania did, but like Melania did.
Right. So maybe he feels like he did the Melania Mother's Day thing already.
Right. By celebrating other mothers in another context.
On Wednesday. Yes.
Right. But so they held this this Mother's Day event for military wives.
Yeah. And there's a photo that is the whitest photo that you're ever going to see unless it's one of the Republican caucus
right.
from the House.
Or the interns. Remember the Republican caucus interns?
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah.
That was a photo. So this photo, which got passed around the internet, you've probably seen it, is... basically 100% white women, even though the military, as we just said, is 60% people of color.
Oh, that's right.
So it just feels like not every single one of those people is married to a blonde woman.
No.
That's just the math I was doing in my head, you know?
Yeah.
But the White House isn't familiar with those people, so it's fine. Meanwhile, Puerto Rico, we don't actually have an update about Puerto Rico this week. First time in a long time. It's still shit, so...
I was going to say, that's an update.
Right. The update is that Puerto Rico's still in the shit, and we're not doing anything about it.
There it is.
We just wanted to remind you to stay vigilant.
Yeah, we're gonna keep doing that.
We're going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
In any case, the big news of the week was the best news of the week.
It was.
It
wasn't the Iran deal.
It wasn't the Iran deal. We'll get
to
that.
I know.
But whatever. The most important news of the week was that we finally have reached the moment where the Stormy Daniels scandal has entered the Mueller-Russiagate investigation.
Yeah.
It all came together this week.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
It was a glorious moment.
It was interesting that way.
It was,
and
right.
In ways, it sort of had been already.
Right.
I mean, the fact that Michael Cohen's office had been raided was...
A sign.
It was a sign.
It was a sign.
Yeah. And Michael Avenatti has been... I mean, he's a... damn hero is
right.
what he is. But
so
I mean,
true.
Like, he's been basically trolling everyone.
Well, I was going to say,
at the White House at this point.
He is
but, like,
the John McCain, like, one part hero, nine parts troll.
He is.
He is that.
Yeah.
He's one part hero, nine parts troll.
That's right.
He's
yeah.
loving every moment.
Oh,
of
my
this.
God.
He's,
just,
he's bringing him the kind of joy that I don't know if I've ever experienced. But basically, this week, and the reason that this Stormy Daniels thing is so bad for Trump, in part, is because it puts a lawyer into the investigation who has no incentive to keep everything quiet. So, like, the Mueller team might have known about stuff like this.
Yes.
But they're kind of slowly building a case that they have to kind of put together quick, you know, in a careful manner. And they have to make sure that they don't make false accusations.
Michael Avenatti can really move this thing along.
He doesn't give a shit about
because
anything.
Because he just basically dumped some stuff out into the world this week that apparently Mueller's team already knew about because they questioned some of these people, like, over a year ago. So,
well, also, it seems like this stuff must be in the record somewhere, which leads me to wonder why it hasn't been dumped already.
Well, and he claims because there were a lot of, you know, questions about where he got this and things like that. And he claims that it's not anywhere where it's going to be problematic for him, that it was just information that was...
These people are not smart enough to cover their tracks that
carefully. No, I was going to say, and he's not stupid enough to just, like, have gotten some top secret stuff from somebody.
He's
and
not
just,
Michael like, Cohen.
She's not Michael Cohen, yeah.
But so in any case, Michael Cohen, who, as we know, despite being called the sort of legal, the lawyer to President Trump, the legal team for President Trump, is actually just his fixer.
That's
he's not much of a lawyer.
Right. And what happened and...
Has you know, been a fixing.
Right, he has. And you know what? Michael Cohen is not the only person that did what he did, actually, because there were some stories this week about how Corey Lewandowski was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Basically, everybody in Washington had the team ready to go that was, like, prepared to go lobby the shit out of Hillary Clinton. They had their Hillary Clinton staff in place.
Right.
And so Donald Trump wins the election, and now everybody, you know, lobbying firms, corporations, everybody who needs something from the president is panicked because they're like, well, what the hell is this guy all
about? They're looking for an in.
Nobody, right. So Michael Cohen, being the thinker that he is, thinks to himself, well, I know him better than anybody else, so I'm going to call everyone that I've ever known and tell them that I have access to the president and see how much money they're willing to give me to tell me things.
Yeah.
Many people might have
thought
to them.
Turned out a lot of money.
Many people might have thought to themselves, I don't know about the ethics of all of that.
But seems like the president's personal lawyer calling me with this offer is
but Michael
borderline
Cohen,
suspect.
Less concerned.
Yeah. Well, he's not a man who knows the law. He's
true.
Just a lawyer.
And that's, yeah.
But so in any case, he was walking around sort of, I think, privately advertising himself as kind of like a guy who could give you advice about how to sort of lobby the president, essentially.
Right.
And it worked. The Novartis, the big pharmaceutical company, gave him $1.2 million over the course of a year.
Yep.
AT&T paid him $200,000. And the Korean airspace industries paid him $150,000. Now, where it gets dicey is that a company that was linked to Vexelberg.
Vexelberg.
I think it's Vexelberg. I can't
remember. Sure,
in any case, he's a Russian oligarch, and he's very close to the Kremlin. A company linked to him also gave him $500,000.
Right.
So that's where the Russiagate thing kind of enters. So this is obviously immoral in a lot, unethical in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But it's not, we don't know what the legality of it is at this moment. We are not legal experts ourselves.
No, and
where
the thing
it gets
is if,
dicey is if foreign powers are paying for access to the president.
Or if there was actually any sort of like lobbying done like on the behalf of these companies, like by him. Like if all of these companies can sort of like successfully stick to a story that all they did was sort of like get advice from Michael Cohen as a knower of things.
Right.
Which is
suspect.
I think the whole thing falls apart at that point because he doesn't know anything.
Right.
Then they're probably ultimately fine. But yes, he would have had to have registered as like some sort of like foreign entity or something like that, or like to be able to like take money from like, you know, this guy who's close to the Kremlin. But the other payments are also dicey too, because AT&T at the time was like, that was when they were trying to do their huge merger, and it was also when we were having the
net neutrality issues.
Situation was going on, and also Novartis, who paid the most money, that all led up to like a big meeting that the president had with the head of Novartis when he was over at Davos.
Right.
So, and we don't know exactly, we don't know what they got. And it was actually the head of Novartis who has been, who we know has been questioned by Mueller. It wasn't even the Russia
guy.
Yeah.
The Kremlin guy.
So.
I can't say his last name again. I refuse.
Yeah, we're not going to. But anyway, you know, all of these are questionable. And they become even more questionable when you find out that all of these payments were made to this, like, what was it called? Essential Corporation, I think, Essential Consultants, which was this company that was set up literally in the weeks prior to the election. And it was that, the bank account from Essential Consultants, that paid the Stormy Daniels the now infamous $130,000 hush money. So,
and the way this story broke was that AT&T had paid into that account right before that payment was made.
So it looks for all the world like A, Michael Cohen was selling access to the president, and B, he was selling anything that he could to be able to repay himself $130,000 to pay off a porn star.
Also for the president.
Oh, right. On behalf of the president.
Right. because that still doesn't erase the fact that this is essentially either an in-kind donation or a donation to the campaign. If Correct. It turns out that he did it to affect the outcome of the election, which he very obviously did, because why else would you do it?
Right.
Sometimes it's the lack of alternatives that leads you to know
that's right.
The
yeah,
answer.
Exactly. Yeah.
But so in any case, this is great for a number of reasons. One being that Michael Cohen is somebody that is likely to turn on the president.
Oh, he's in the shit right now.
And
I mean, he's got
so anything that
he's got
deepens
this
the
going
shit.
On. He's got his New York criminal investigations that are going on.
Like,
he's
this is a man who needs to get out of some
the
trouble.
Stormy Daniels civil suit. His office is being raided. I mean, there's nowhere to go for this guy.
So there's that. There's the fact that this is sort of a direct story about the connection between the Stormy Daniels case and Russiagate, which is the thing that we said about this Stormy Daniels thing was that this will be the thing that brings him down, because this will be the thing that actually does get to his finances.
Yes.
You know, like this will be, it's like one thing if everyone's trying to sort of cover up that collusion happened because they don't want the government to fall, basically.
Yeah.
But it's another thing if a porn star with an interest in proving where her payment came from comes around and is just laser-focused. Right.
Good lawyer.
A laser focus looking for information about where that money came from.
Yeah.
That's the details come out in a case like that.
Yeah.
Not in the big case is a lot. It's hard for us to kind of wrap our heads around. A little case like this can do so much damage, because it sort of, as we've seen, has uncovered a much bigger scandal than what it initially was meant to cover up.
Yeah, for sure. And Avenatti also has claimed that he's got way more stuff. He says he's got texts. He says he's got emails. And actually today he tweeted, I don't know if you saw this, he tweeted photos from Trump Tower of Michael Cohen and Michael Flynn meeting.
Oh, man.
But didn't say what, but then he was like, he said something like ignoring threats, because Michael Cohen was like, said some stupid threat.
Thugs.
I don't know. And was like, and then it was like, more details to come. So we don't know what the details are. Maybe we'll know by when we listen to this.
Fools.
But like,
Don't poke this bear.
No.
He's making his entire career off of this.
Yeah.
He's suddenly the most famous lawyer in America.
Yeah.
This is working out great for him.
Yeah.
You're
the
not
best lawyer in America, too. He's America's lawyer.
He's America's lawyer. You're not going to outsmart him at this juncture.
Not if you're Michael Cohen.
Not if
somebody
you're,
might. There,
somebody out there
I,
could.
I truly believe that someone exists that could do it.
Of course.
I don't
this
think
is,
that Michael
Cohen. Has not been rocket science.
Avenatti is actually the best lawyer out there. It's just that Trump's lawyers are actual idiots.
Exactly.
Stupid people.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. And the only people that are willing to work on a case that's as flimsy as theirs are the worst lawyers.
I was going to say, Avenatti is winning this battle because he is the only person working with like a base level version of the facts.
Right. Yeah, the facts are really essential when you're going to win a case.
Right. And he's the only one that
has them. He's the only one that has any of them.
That's right.
It's made it much easier.
For him, yeah.
Yeah. But this is also, and I'm going to say it again, just because I feel like wealthy men of America, I need you to take this in. You've got to have higher payoffs than this. This is all because $130,000 is not actually enough money to change someone's life. You have to change someone's life to keep them quiet. That's just some criminal advice from me to you.
It's a hot tip.
For $130,000, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut about some bullshit.
No.
No. For $10 million, I'll think about it.
Sure.
You know, depending on whether the fate of the free world is involved. But like, this is all basically because they didn't give her enough money.
Yeah, that's right.
I just hate that they were even dumb about, like, at that base level, it was this dumb.
Yeah.
Right? I also have a feeling that if it had been a huge amount of money, we wouldn't have ever spoken about it, because it would have seemed out of the realm of campaign finance. Like, I think a $10 million payout is one where you're like, I don't know what that's about. $130,000, you're like, they were trying to pay her off for this campaign in a short-term situation.
Right, to shut her out for 2 weeks.
Right.
Like, that's all that was.
$10 million, you're like, something went on.
Right.
Someone's dead. I don't know what the situation is, but I'm not involved.
Yeah.
Like, that's another reason. In any case, he probably doesn't have $10 million. Whatever.
No.
The other thing he did this week was withdraw from the Iran deal.
God. And
this offers us nothing, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can sort of...
I'm excited to see what you're about to say.
I was just about to say, like, I would assume... I don't know enough about this because, like, I don't... This is This is not my wheelhouse. Right. I understand enough about it to know why it's stupid, but I feel like there is probably a debate to be had over the Iran nuclear deal.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I could see a world where, like, maybe there was a better deal to be had.
Of course. Well, this was one of those deals where we were in there making a deal to make a deal in the future, like, repeatedly. Right. Like, remember when this all started and it was like, in six months, we'll reconvene and make a new deal that is the deal for the next, you know, like, there was never a deal.
Right.
And then there was a deal and it was like, I don't know.
But the one thing that I do have enough information to confidently say is that by just removing ourselves from it,
we're not going to get that better deal.
And it's also, there's nothing good can come from that. Right. Like, for suddenly the literally fate the of entire the planet
world is imperiled.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, that's the
because
thing.
Because the one thing that this was allowing us to do was to make sure that we could basically have free reign to check in with them, the entire world community,
right,
to make sure that they weren't up to shenanigans over there. Yeah. And I know that they claim that they now have evidence that is like some, you know, cockamamie evidence that like Israel has produced, which is like, of course they
have. Also, I mean, we had like evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq when we needed to.
Yeah. So it's, you know, the rest of the countries in this deal, which are, you know, basically the other world powers, are all
the Frances and Germanys,
like,
of the world,
you know, wrote a joint letter that was basically like, we'd still like to stay in it. And also, like, don't be an asshole, like, just for the sake of being an asshole. But like,
that's the reason Trump lives.
I know.
This is the moment. This kind of stuff is what he lives for. Being an asshole just to be an asshole.
And
his favorite
undoing
thing.
Obama.
Yeah.
Anything that Obama did. Had done.
Yeah.
I think Bill Maher the other night joked that Trump would bring back Bin Laden if he could.
You know, yeah. I've been on the outs of Bill Maher, but that's a great joke.
Right. Yeah.
It's concerning for a number of reasons, obviously. But one of them is also that if we can't be trusted to act rationally in the face of new leadership in our own nation, then we are not reliable people to enter into international agreements with anyway.
Yeah.
It just imperils our entire ability to sign treaties.
That's the thing.
Because would make a deal with such ridiculous people?
Yeah, because in this same speech, Trump basically like touted the diplomacy that they're having with North Korea right now, and like how North Korea has like claimed that they're going to stop their nuclear program and like all of these things. And it's sort of like, well, if we go and we like strike some sort of deal with them, like why do they have to honor
I
that
also,
if like in right. 3 years somebody else doesn't have to honor it? It's just sort of like,
P.S. they won't.
Well, I
and
know,
also
but,
P.S. we're not trusting the leadership of North Korea over the leadership of Iran to abide by a deal. Like in common sense world.
Right.
Like, I get that, like, they're telling us what we want to hear right now, and that's fine. That's an exciting new approach that has never been tried. But I feel
but
like
it has. Even I mean, though, no, yeah, like, it always has. But and even the like, Trump is now like the fourth president to get like political prisoners from the U.S., like, which I had forgotten. Like that, like
every few years.
Obama got them, Bush got them, Bush's father got, like, every single president has, like, this is, we're just now in the period of time that like happens whenever a new president, but he's an idiot, so he doesn't know.
Well,
but
he doesn't remember things because he doesn't know what happened in history. Right. That's not... No, this is a thing that you don't want to look like on the international scene. You don't want to look like the people that can't be trusted to keep themselves in check in basic ways.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you go in there and you're like, some of these terms don't actually make sense. I would love to discuss.
Yeah.
It's another thing if you're just, like, pulling out of every international deal that the last president signed and are like, on the other hand, we're going to go make the same deal with North Korea, but we can't be trusted to have it with you.
Yeah.
Because this is the same deal that we're offering to North Korea.
Oh, I would
we're
going
to
so.
Ease
yeah,
sanctions
ease
in exchange
sanctions
for them to give us the
to,
right
like,
to go inspect whether their nuclear weapon, you know, program is happening.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's the same fucking deal.
Yeah.
Why can we trust North Korea to do it, but it's like we're too good for the Iran version
of it. And why would they trust us?
Well, exactly.
Yeah. And... when we're saying that no good comes from it, like, we're already seeing this because the Iranian president has already said that they will try and negotiate with the other countries that are, like, still in it, which is France, Germany, Britain. But he said, and this is a quote, he said if those, he said that they would begin enriching more uranium than before in the next weeks.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, and obviously, if they're going to do that, like, we know who they're going to, we know that it's going to... they're going to bomb Israel, if they're going to bomb anyone, and then we're going to get involved. It's sort of, he's like basically just goading everyone to like get into a nuclear war in the Middle East so we can get ourselves involved.
The very thing we've spent decades trying to avoid.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, and it's like we have, it's like if you have like a ferocious pit bull that you've been trying to keep on the leash, and then all of a sudden you have a new own, you know, you decide to let go. Like, that's, Israel will goad anyone into whatever war they feel like in the Middle East. That's what they've been doing this whole time.
Yeah.
And this whole time we've been sort of negotiating. It's our might that they're using as the threat. So we've been sort of negotiating behind them to try to, like, make deals with these nations that they're trying to go to war with so that we can avoid a catastrophe over there. But this just throws the whole thing into chaos.
Yeah, it does.
Also, I'm just, like, sick of him saying that he can get better deals on things.
Right, he's not
good at negotiating.
But, yeah, that's the thing. Like, he has, you know, he pulled out of the...
He was going to get us a better Paris climate agreement.
Right, TPP. He pulled out of the TPP. Like, all of these... he just wants to tear up the agreements.
Right.
Guys, that's not getting a better agreement.
No. Also, he is not good at negotiating. He is not actually capable of getting you a better agreement.
Right.
Like, we can't fall for the idea that he's some kind of master negotiator. Right. He's not good at it.
And I think that we need to hold him to that, too, in the sense that, like, you know, I heard people talking about, like, oh, well, he's keeping a campaign promise. No, he didn't keep a campaign promise.
No, he broke at least five of them by getting
because, like, and this is what deals. He, and all of his campaign promises were, like, deal-related.
Yeah.
And all he has done has, like, either failed miserably at them or torn them up. You know, Mexico was going to pay for the wall. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal he was going to make. He was going to get a better trade deal. We don't have better trade deals. He was going to get a better Iran deal. We're either getting out of them or failing at them.
The scale of his failure is pretty spectacular.
Oh, yeah, it's epic.
It's pretty impressive.
There are people who are going to try and tell you
that this is what he promised.
That they are not failures. Well, and that's what I'm saying, is that we need to remind them that, no,
this was
getting out
promise.
Of the... leaving the Iran deal and, like, leaving Iran to make nuclear weapons to bomb Israel was not the campaign promise.
No. The promise was to get a better deal.
Right.
All of these were just better deal promises.
Yes.
None of them were just, like...
We have no better deals. We either have no deal or failed attempts at deals.
Right.
That's all we have.
Well, and it's a little much even to call trying to make Mexico pay for the wall a deal.
That was always a... Just
we didn't try to make a deal there.
No.
We just made a vague threat via Twitter.
Right. I was going to say the deal was him saying it aloud and then the Mexican president being like, oh, fuck off.
Right.
That's
as far as the deal making process as we got.
Yeah.
But so in any case, that's chaos. And we're down a man because fucking Eric Schneiderman, the attorney general in New York State, who was kind of our plan B for making sure Trump got gotten.
Yeah.
Had to resign in disgrace because he's been apparently slightly abusive in many of his last relationships, specifically in bed.
Yeah, I mean, there have been, you know, as we've talked about on this podcast, there have been some Democrats who have sort of resigned that we didn't think should have had to have, or there have been some sort of, like, you know, Me Too moments that were sort of
this
perhaps
is like,
taken a little bit too far. Maybe not so much here.
No. Like, also, this is just, like, so supremely disappointing because not, to me, what it says... And this is not what, like, the Franken thing said to me, like, he had some political enemies that were going to get him.
Yeah.
This says to me that, like, there is no level morally or politically upon which women are not being abused.
Yes.
Like, if the guy who is the guy who is, he's been talking about Me Too up a storm.
Yes.
He was prosecuting Weinstein. I mean, he has been a big advocate for this issue.
Right. But he's also been drunkenly choking and hitting women
that
he's sleeping
with. Right. That's who has access to the power to get us out of this situation.
Yeah.
And even if you know him personally, you're at risk for it too. Like, that is very frustrating.
Right. It's like, where's your ally?
Yeah. You don't have any real allies in this situation.
Not with men in power anyway.
No.
There's
and
safe
who else is in power?
Go.
I mean, ultimately, like, that's the real question here.
Yeah.
It's not that, you know, it's not that all men do this.
Right.
And it's not that there are no women in some kind of position of authority. But when you talk about power as a larger concept, who has power in a larger sense, it is men who have power.
Totally.
And also, if you talk about who's committing these actions in a larger sense, it is men who are committing these actions.
Yep.
And if there is no subset of the men who are both allies and are universally not committing these actions, then you have no allies.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's... that's frustrating.
Yeah.
That's a scary position for women to be in, because it,
yeah.
And this is, and I feel like what was so, you know, this happens in New York State. We lost what I thought was a great governor and had been a great attorney general over a dumb sex scandal that he shouldn't have resigned over. That's Eliot Spitzer I'm talking about. But Eliot Spitzer was just hiring hookers. And I don't fucking care right. if people want to hire hookers. Hire hookers to your heart's content. That's your business.
Yeah.
Especially because the hooker he was hiring lived on my parents' block in a kind of nice high rise. Like, obviously her life was okay. Like, she was right. making a choice to make a career in sex trade. Like, that's her business too. This is different because this really is about someone not respecting consent.
Yeah, this is power and
this is about abuse. Power and abuse.
It's sex. I mean, it's
and when I first heard the story,
and
I was
they're
like,
calling it non-consensual sex. I mean, he's basically
raping.
He was raping.
That's when I first heard just that it had happened, I was like, ugh, another Eliot Spitzer situation. Yeah. And now I'm just like,
yeah.
come on, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I think we can sort of like still say that we wished that he was there in the sense that we would have not wanted this to have happened and that he would have been doing better with his life.
Yes.
But, like, also, I think that...
But, like, I'm also...
But you can't be, like, yeah, you this you have to be... You have to resign, and you have to also potentially face criminal charges, too, because, like, this is not, like...
Right.
This is not... This is criminal behavior, basically. And also, he claims to have not done it, but there are of course, and there are four women, and two of them wouldn't even
and
say
also,
their names, probably out of fear. Because
these guys...
So, obviously, this happened.
These guys also... It's so frustrating that they put themselves in these situations without admitting that they have been part. Like, I see a world where someone with an unsavory past like this says, I have done these things. The reason I am so active on this issue is because I realize I'm part of the problem. And then you can keep being the guy. You know, like, it's hard. Like, but that's, but I see, because the thing is, you can't get rid of these men from society. They still exist in society. That we're going to find them everywhere.
Sure.
You know, this has been accepted behavior for decades. And so we're going to keep finding these people. But on the Democratic side, instead of everyone just panicking after we've revealed that everyone is a monster, I wish we could be like, listen, you guys, a lot of you have done fucked up shit. Because this is politics and everyone has done some fucked up shit.
Right.
What do we need to do to make sure that you are making amends for that while in office instead of using the power of office to commit these acts? Like, what about our culture as Democrats do we need to change so that men like this either stop it as soon as they get into power because they are sort of told that this is not where you do this, or don't do it in the first place, which would be
that's
your ideal
preferable.
Situation.
Right.
Preferable. But I'm just saying, like, if people who are political allies keep falling this way because no one is fucking admitting that they're part of the problem, what do we need to do to make sure that we have a way of dealing with it where we don't keep losing ground instead of gaining ground?
Right.
Now women lost out here because he was also an advocate on this issue. He was someone who was really taking on this administration and taking on men who have been predators pretty actively in a way that no one else was doing. So women just lose out.
Yeah.
And it's his fault that women are losing out.
Well, yeah,
I'm not
exactly.
claiming that
he
shouldn't have resigned.
Right.
But I'm just saying, like, what do we need to do to make sure that by the time someone is in this position ready to take these actions, that we have done a full personal accounting.
Right.
And also that the Democrats are like, this is not part of our culture.
Yeah,
we don't condone this behavior. And being in power as a Democrat means that you are not like that our entire ethos doesn't allow for this to be what power is.
Yep.
Because it's so exhausting. I'm so sick of these people.
Yeah.
Just, like, want everyone to calm the fuck down and just, like, just ask.
Seriously.
Stop
raping people.
Just don't rape people. It's, like, it's so easy not to rape people.
Right?
I mean, it's easier than raping them, really. I mean, that's the thing about it.
Oh, boy.
You have to take special effort to rape someone.
Yeah.
To not rape someone... You don't even have to get off the couch.
No.
Just stay right there.
Yeah.
In any case, we also had a very big primary
day
this week, last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Ohio.
Things didn't all fall like I
North
wanted them
Carolina,
to.
North Carolina, Indiana, West Virginia. It was
you can't
states,
have everything.
It's states you can't always trust. And they showed us that they're not necessarily ready to
I
be trusted.
I thought I was going to be able to trust West Virginia to...
Do the wrong thing by way of doing the hilarious thing.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, that ex-convict who literally spent a year in jail, the coal baron... the Don Blankenship who was calling Mitch McConnell's wife China people.
Yeah, he was calling
specifically, but that's how it started.
Of any sort of Chinese descent, regardless of we're being
Asian
referred
descent,
to as China or
Oriental,
or
if
right,
you will.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Which
that
we
might
won't,
be a word he will.
Right. Yeah. Oh, he would.
Right.
Yes.
We're being called China people in campaign ads.
Yes.
I mean, not just in private conversation.
Yeah.
He wanted to let them know he was gonna stand up to the China people. I believe.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. He
and
lost.
Also, he was someone who Brent and I have developed a new strategy for thinking about politicians and their political ambitions. Which is the potato scale.
Oh, yeah.
Which we haven't fully named yet. Made me think of it. Because he has the personality of a sack of potatoes. Like, literally, he has been outshined by inanimate objects
ad. If he could have been a charismatic China people hater, I think he would have coasted to victory.
He could have pulled this off and lost in the general like a pro.
That's right.
But instead, he was literally the flattest and most boring human being that's ever lived.
That's right.
He looked like a cartoon of a fake person.
Yeah, he
had about as much...
Of a coal baron.
Of a coal baron, yeah. Yeah, he does look like a cartoon of a coal baron.
Yeah.
But like, you hear the pejorative terms, you hear whatever, and you think this guy is like a folksy kind of like down-home, you know, racist.
He's got it.
He's not, guys.
He
wasn't. Just boring.
That's right.
He's not folksy at all.
Yeah.
If you're going to say China people, be folksy.
Yeah.
If you're going to be
sell it.
Racist, sell it. Like, don't insult us with your dumb ad where you're just racist and you're boring. It's not even an interesting ad.
Yeah.
It's infuriating. In any case, thankfully, West Virginia has just enough taste.
Right, exactly.
That, they didn't go
for him. To find a reasonable enough crazy person to probably beat Joe Manchin
in
2018.
Right. Yeah, because
the state attorney general. So, although Joe Manchin is continuing
he's kind of an
to
institution.
Do his, and he's doing his best to continue to act like a Republican. We're going to get to that in just a little bit.
For some reason, I know he could lose at any moment, but I feel like every time he's up for re-election,
he could lose
at any moment.
Right,
he's won all the elections.
I was going to say he's held statewide office, like, you know, because he was. Wasn't he the governor?
Hasn't he been in the Senate for like a trillion years?
Senate? I don't know, but he's won statewide office in West Virginia more times than you would think possible for a Democrat, basically.
And that's because he's not a Democrat.
Well, that's right.
So, in any case, there was one other exciting thing.
You would think that the people of West Virginia wouldn't be so discerning as to sort of like really dig into whether he was a Democrat or Republican since he has a D in front of his name, but...
I feel like once...
Maybe I should be giving them more credit.
Right. Well, I feel like also once you're in West Virginia... being a Democrat might just mean something different. Like, they don't not elect any Democrats there. They just, like, the Democrats they elect are terrible.
Well, that's true. And they used to elect it to Democrats all the time.
Right. Well, they're a big union state.
Yeah.
It's the coal state.
Yeah. And speaking of unions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this was not, like, a huge race, but there was, like, one asshat state senator there who was, like, the leader of the pack against the teachers when the West Virginia teachers were striking.
And, by the way, galvanized an entire nation.
Yeah.
Like, when they did the most successful strike.
Seriously.
In history.
Yeah. And so he got himself a primary challenger who was also a Republican. But like you said, it's a big union state. So there are Republicans there who are sort of, like, sympathetic to unions. Yeah. And so so a Republican who is sympathetic to unions is against right-to-work laws.
Right.
Ran against him in this primary. He got $10,000 from his campaign, which only raised like $50,000. So basically like one-fifth his money from the teachers union. And he won. And it wasn't actually even that close.
Yeah.
I mean, he sort of handed the guy his ass in this election. So, like, good work.
Yeah. That's
West Virginia.
That's also what having an active labor movement can buy for
you. Yes. And it's also what, like, having, like, a grassroots...
Yeah, like a real grassroots interest changing something about the culture of politics.
Because you can do that in a state Senate race.
Yeah.
Like, you know...
Well, and that's... My mom always says... She always refers to these kinds of seats as... by how much you can buy them for, basically. Because she's like, you know, it costs a certain amount of money to run for office. The main obstacle to people running for office is that they don't know how to get their hands on this kind of money.
Yeah.
But she'll walk around being like, why isn't anyone running for state Senate? They're cheap to buy. Those seats are cheap. You know, it's a $70,000 seat.
Yeah.
That's not that much money in the course of, this is in New York State, obviously, where everything's a little more expensive than West Virginia. But, like, but she's always like, it's crazy to me that Democrats don't run someone in every race.
Right.
Because... These seats are cheap to buy.
Right.
And if it's that cheap to buy, why not try?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Run
Indiana
for local office.
Also, there it is. Right. Indiana also had their primary, and Mike Braun, who's just like some boring, wealthy businessman, is going to be the Republican Senate candidate running against Joe Donnelly.
Another
also
man,
doing his best to act like a Republican. we're going to mention him in the same story that we mention Joe Manchin in a little bit. Two Democrats acting like Republicans.
Yeah.
You know what? And on
it's
some
those
level,
two. It's always those two.
It's always those two. You know what? And they're from Indiana and West Virginia. On some level, I get it. But on so many other levels, I really just don't.
Yeah. Greg Pence, though, won his primary for Congress. That's Mike Pence's brother.
That's right.
They're trying to get the whole Pence family in there and really shake things up.
Right. God.
Nice. In Ohio, the GOP chose Jim Renacci to run against Sherrod Brown.
Sure.
That one I do worry about because he's an institution,
yeah,
obviously, but they are having a governor's race in the same election. They currently have a Republican governor. Yeah. I just like worry. I don't always trust them to know what's right. When you have two statewide races where two people from different parties are where the sort of I guess there's no incumbent in the governor's race, but where the sort of incumbent party is an opposite. Like I never know what to think.
Yeah.
You know, and the last time that he won was in an off cycle. So for the governor, you know, for other statewide office. So in any case, I worry, you guys. Yeah, I worry.
I know. It would be we would like to send Jared Brown back to the Senate.
We like him.
Yeah.
But in that governor's race, Richard Cordray, who's the former head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, unsurprisingly won because he was the establishment candidate.
Right.
We had thought Kucinich started to creep up in the polls at the very end.
Yeah, but then it ended
ended up not being close. But listen, we're living in Kucinich's world right now.
That's right. Yeah, there was a great article this week, actually, and I think it was in the Washington Post or something that was basically like you know, Dennis Kucinich was like the invented Bernie Sanders, basically. Like, even though Bernie Sanders, I think, is older. But I mean, like, you know,
but as
and it was funny, they were just sort of like, as a presidential candidate, they sort of like recounted like some of his like what were at the time sort of like hilarious moments from, you know, debates for the for president, where he was sort of like, you know, touting free healthcare and free college for everyone, and sort of like being laughed at by Larry King, who was like, you know, moderating.
Right, they were so disrespectful to him.
Like, right, exactly, and this was not that long ago.
No, were times that Brent and I also were old enough to vote.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
And Kucinich was also someone who would stay in the race. I always liked that about him because everyone else.
Oh, he was the last person.
He was always the last person to drop out. That's always.
Yeah, because he didn't care. It's not like he was running a campaign that was
And that's, by the way, what everyone thought the Sanders campaign was going to be.
Well, right.
That was why we were going to vote for him. We were like, this guy's going to stay in the race. He's not going to fuck around.
Yeah.
It turned out everyone felt that way.
Right.
It turned out everyone wanted him to stay in the race.
Yeah.
We didn't know.
And I
we
think
had been
in large
voting
part,
for Kucinich and walking around
I was
just
say,
like.
You know what? We can thank Dennis Kucinich for that.
Yeah.
I know that's why that's how he was sort of fashioning himself too.
I mean,
he was fashioning himself in the same way that he's been fashioning himself for decades.
Exactly.
But it's just, you know, in vogue now.
I always said when people were angry at me for not voting for Hillary, I was always like, what do you want from me? I'm a Kucinich voter.
Right,
like,
exactly.
I'm like, this is what I do. This is my thing.
Yeah.
So like, this is it.
Yeah.
I was going to be a spoiler then and I'm a spoiler now.
You know what? I bet some of the people who said that to you at the time are now also, it's their thing.
I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They also are running a state attorney general.
Yes.
And so
as the
Mike
Republican.
DeWine won that race. And in North Carolina, we had an incumbent go in the primary.
Our first
incumbent.
Right. Lose a primary. Yeah.
Yeah. This
was for U.S. Congress.
For, right, congressional. Yeah. Well, we just announced that a congressional.
Right. I was going to say. That's what I was going to say.
Robert Pittenger from North Carolina.
Sure.
Was a Republican. Ran against a former pastor named Mark Harris and lost. Mark Harris is a Trumper.
Trumper.
So that's not good news.
No.
But it is interesting. Yes. I am interested actually to see, even in places where Trump still has strong support, like they really hate Congress. Like there's everywhere that Republicans are, they hate someone.
Yeah.
There's either, so there's a liability no matter who you are.
Yeah.
Because on the Democratic side, we just sort of like don't have anyone.
Yeah.
So we just feel sad for ourselves.
But
on the Republican side, depending on what kind of state you're in and what kind of community you live in, you either are into the chaos theory or you're into the sort of structured, you know, business as usual. And they are failing on both counts.
Right.
So if you're in a Trump state, you're looking at primary challengers from Trump people.
Yeah. Well, and that's
if you're
the
not,
thing.
Then
and
you're looking at, you know.
Right. Well, and that is so interesting, too, because there has been so much talk running into 2018 about how Republicans are going to sort of fashion themselves in terms of whether they are going to, you know, be you know, pretend that they are close to Trump and will do Trump's bidding, or whether they sort of like want to run away from Trump. But the problem is, in a primary, if you run too far away from Trump, then
right, those are the voters that voted for Trump,
right? Because a Republican primary is it's a little bit harder to get out of if you're running against Trump at the time. So it would be great if if we get to 2018, it would be really super awesome if we have just like a bunch of Trumpers. Crazies.
No, exactly. I feel like reasonable Democrats. The only place where I can see disavowing Trump getting you out of a primary is in like white suburbs of major cities.
Yes, exactly. Right. That didn't go for him anyway.
That didn't go for him. Or barely went for him. And those are seats that I think we can pick up regardless.
I do too.
But yeah, if you're in deep Trump country, you have a bit of a conundrum.
Yeah.
On your hands.
Yeah.
Because it is not going to pay to hug him too tight. Because
the things that you. Right. What was that quote from? They're running into that quote from like Jeb Bush from like, you know, you have to lose the presidency to win the primary or something like that.
Oh, yeah. You have to lose the primary to win the presidency or something.
Crazy, ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, that didn't really work out anyway because we have a Republican president right now.
Right.
But anyway.
Moving on.
Yeah.
We saw in a lot of these races that people that were close to Trump ended up winning.
Right.
And that poses some problems in the general and also not just for them, but for the, you know, the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee.
Right.
For the people that have to craft the message.
Right.
Because this is not the message they're looking to craft.
No.
Also, everyone hates Congress. I think a lot of incumbents might be losing their jobs because everyone hates them.
Yeah.
So that's something, I guess, to know.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Gina Haspel is probably just going to get confirmed.
Confirmed?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Well, who cares about torture?
Yeah,
the only person who cares is John McCain, and he's dying.
Right. This is the story where we get to tell you about how continually
Joe Donnelly and Joe Manchin
are terrible people.
The Joes.
Yeah. Because they announced this week that they're going to vote yes for her. What?
They are nightmare people.
What?
You know who's not going to vote yes for her? Guess. It's John McCain, who has taken a stand.
He's not going to vote yes or no because he's not even going to be there.
Right.
But like, you know.
And Rand Paul.
Yeah.
Who's just a contrarian.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't understand how they have ever received a single military vote on the Republican side with this kind of.
Right?
I mean, John McCain, the reason he takes such a hard stance on torture is because he's been a prisoner of war. So if anyone should be the authority on whether torture is the right move, it should be him.
Yeah.
And he's talking, this is torture against our enemies. This is not, he's saying torture as a blanket rule is no good.
Yeah.
He's not saying it to be a sort of, you know, to create a double standard or anything.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't understand why they can't just trust him on this one.
Yeah. And it's crazy too, because the reason that he says that he would vote no is because, you know, a lot of people sort of felt like she did okay in her hearings because she did sort of, I mean, she definitely had moments of failure for sure. And the specific one being that she sort of like wouldn't agree to torture being immoral, but she did sort of like talk about how like she wouldn't do it again. And she kind of like, you know, like talked about specific things that she learned and regretted and blah, 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 whatever.
Right.
So there were some Democrats who were sort of like, well, maybe it wasn't as terrible as we thought, but regardless, I just don't understand those two voting yes when you have the, because they both said it after McCain's statement.
Yeah.
So it's like you have the cover of Republicans, because other Republicans have expressed some concerns with her as well.
They could
And it's not as if this is a make or break for them in their statewide race either.
Yeah,
the people of West Virginia are not going to hold Joe Manchin's feet to the fire for his vote on Gina Haspel. Like, that's not real. Like, I get a world where sort of like Joe Manchin sort of like feels like he needs to vote on a yes on a tax bill, although even that has been a loser for Republicans.
Right.
But like, you can sort of wrap your head around certain things, but like, it doesn't.
This just means nothing to the people of West Virginia.
I don't understand why they just don't vote no on this.
I mean,
like,
are they trying?
You have cover
to
already.
Just look like they operate in a bipartisan manner.
I don't know.
Because I think they are probably looking. This is, I think, probably on their end, a meaningless vote. And and because it's a meaningless vote, maybe it gives them cover to vote with the right so that they can be like, we vote our heart, our conscience, instead of voting a party line, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think that's what's going on here. This is as much as it's a meaningful vote if you are, say, John McCain.
Sure.
It's a completely meaningless vote if you're Joe Donnelly or Joe Manchin.
Yeah.
This means nothing. This is nonsense, right? You know?
Yeah.
And it's nonsense to the people of Indiana and West Virginia, and it's nonsense to them. It means nothing about their political future other than that it gives them the right to say, we vote across party lines.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what they're doing here.
Maybe.
Also, they're so idiots.
Stupid, though. Yeah.
And I need them to get a hold of themselves. Yeah.
There's been some fallout since the McCain statement where he said that he was going to vote no, because there was a White House aide, and I think we actually know her name at this point.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is.
But anyway, she said, it doesn't matter, he's dying anyway.
And then the White House was asked to apologize and refused.
Yeah, refused. They haven't apologized yet. Meghan McCain is, like, raging around on The View, demanding apologies. And rightfully
so. This is rude.
Come on.
That's a rude thing to say.
What?
Yeah, and coming out of the White House?
Yeah.
They're mad because they can't go to the funeral.
Yeah. Oh, did you see Orrin Hatch this week said that McCain should invite Trump, and then, like, the next day it was like, I shouldn't have said that.
No. Yeah. That's amazing. Uh-huh.
I'm like, Orrin Hatch, you don't get to, when you get to plan your own funeral, which
is
soon. Probably soon.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You should start doing it now and do it publicly if you want. It seems like that's what we're up to.
It seems fun.
Then you can.
I would love.
You can uninvite President Obama if you want. Like, and you know what? I'm not going to art direct your funeral, you know?
Exactly.
Like, it's not my business, and it's not your business to do John McCain's either.
So excited by this new trend of publicly planning your own funeral.
Yeah.
I love the fact that John McCain is taking this moment to snub everyone he hates.
Yeah.
I think it's the most genius thing he's ever done.
Yeah, you want to know what else he said this week? I saw some quote from him that, like, he said, I think it was like an excerpt from his book, because that's coming out pretty soon, is he said something like, now that he knows that he's not going back, he feels liberated to be able to speak his mind, basically. And I was like, yeah. And then, like, my second, like, follow-up thought
what's on
was
his mind?
Well, my follow-up thought was term limits.
Yes, right.
You know, because, like, don't, you know, you've been in the Senate for like 1 billion years, and you just now are deciding that you have covered a speak your mind, and it's because you have brain cancer and you can't go back to Washington, D.C.? Like, I don't want to, like...
I don't need to wait until people are on their deathbed.
I don't want to live in that world where, like...
You can only actually say the truth of what's happening in Washington on your deathbed?
Right, when you're dying.
Yeah. I don't want to live
after
in that world.
After you've been in the Senate, you know...
For 80 60 years.
60 years.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
I know. Well, this is the other thing about Dianne Feinstein that I would like to just point out.
Yeah.
She could be great. She could offer a lot to a freshman senator in terms of sharing her experience and the secret ins and outs of Washington.
That's right.
She knows a lot.
Yeah.
And she's a smart lady.
Yep.
And she would offer a lot to a young freshman senator who could take the job from her and do a better job of representing the people of California.
Oh, can I tell you? I have to tell you a story about my mom. It's Mother's Day.
Perfect. So, yeah, it's
anyway,
on theme.
They had their, so she lives in a 55 and older community, and she's in the Democrats club. And they had, like, one of their biggest meetings of the year is whenever there's an election coming up and they go over the ballot. Especially in California, the ballot is confusing.
Yeah, it's like
1,000. And if you're, you know.
Oh, we're releasing our prop teaching too.
She's still right of mind, but when you're old, it's extra confusing. Yeah. You know, I'm not gonna lie about it. The ballot is confusing to me as a...
Right.
Not
the prime of your life
person.
Right.
Exactly. Yes. And so they also, and then they do, so they go over the ballot, and then they also, they have like a straw poll.
Ooh.
And she was one of two people who voted for Kevin DeLeon in the straw poll. And so then they like had a big debate about, they basically were like, who voted for Kevin DeLeon? And like somebody asked her if she felt like Dianne Feinstein was too old. Keep in mind, this is a room full of old people. And she said yes.
Yeah.
And then really got taken to task for it. But, you know, she stuck to her guns.
God bless her. I only thought of that because my own mother said it.
I know.
She's the one.
Your mother is older than my
exactly.
mother.
Exactly. Yeah, my mom
not that there's,
is in her 70s.
Not that we're having a competition. Sorry, Carla.
Wait. but I mean, like, the reason that I realized that was an appropriate thing to even start thinking about is because my own mother was like, these people are too fucking old.
Yeah, sometimes.
People my age shouldn't be running for office. People older than me definitely shouldn't be.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? You're not wrong.
No.
You know, in a bind, you go with who you have.
Right.
You know, in a bind, you vote for Bernie Sanders. Everyone's 85 in that election anyway.
Right.
But I mean, like, if you have the option of developing a bench and doing something for the next generation as someone who has enjoyed power for many years.
Let that be your legacy.
Let that be your
not
legacy.
Not die in office.
No, don't die in office and then let everyone scramble and no one knows what to do and you can't tell anyone where anything is and how things work in Washington because you're dead. And it's like, it doesn't help anyone.
Oh, yikes. Anyway, ugh, Iowa. God,
Iowa's really.
Damn it. Come on.
This is, both of our home states have failed us big time this week.
It's getting so hard, you guys, to love defend Iowa. You in California.
I know.
Like, it's just a real bummer.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean, not for me. It's fine for me. I'm right, I living. Know. Exactly. This has validated everything I initially suspected about Iowa. And for years, Brent had been convincing me otherwise. And now I'm like, well, I was right.
I know. But you weren't initially.
I wasn't initially right.
They're getting crazier. They're getting crazier, which is what makes me so mad.
My friendship with Brent, if it's taught me anything, it's that Iowa has gotten progressively crazier over the last 10 right. years. And exactly. It didn't start as crazy as I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's yeah. so true. We were actually talking about this yesterday, like, because we were talking about this very story, and my mom was like, I think one time I voted for Chuck Grassley. Because, like, he seemed like a person who right. was sort of, like,
doing
basically, like, doing the things that you would want him to do, like, as a senator from your right. small state, who sort of, like
brought some
cared about his
in or whatever.
Constituents and sort of, like, hadn't been caught up in, like, all of the Washington, you know, nonsense that yeah. you hate it when, you know, your senator
this
happens.
Is...
But, like, now... They're all insane.
Right.
And they're signing fetal heartbeat bills.
I mean, this is just to poke us.
This is just to poke us.
This is literally nonsense.
Yeah.
It's literally
our
just
first
to bring...
woman governor, by the way, too, signed this.
Of course.
Like.
Because that's what happens.
That's what I know.
That's yeah. when people get crazy.
Yeah, Joni Ernst was the first statewide woman office holder
yeah.
we had. And
so
she was terrible. And now we have our second one, and she's double terrible.
Yeah. This is...
Yeah. So, because you detect a fetal heartbeat at 6 weeks, and that is, nobody knows they're pregnant at 6 weeks.
No.
So, this law, what it forces people to do is if you go in for an abortion, it forces the doctors to see if there's a fetal heartbeat. And if and there is, then they can't give you the abortion.
Right. And it's also illegal. It's
well, right.
It has been in the past. These laws have been overturned.
Oh, this
in the past.
Is going to be in the courts. And
yeah.
like Planned Parenthood for the Heartland, which is like their Planned Parenthood
yeah.
chapter, has already said that they're taking it to the courts. So, like.
Yeah, I mean,
but,
this was designed to go to the courts, though. This
well,
bill is for
say,
the courts.
Yes.
It's not a real bill.
100%.
I mean,
yeah.
it's a real bill if it makes it through the courts.
Well, right.
But it's not a real bill at the moment because it's. These similar bills have been shot down in the past.
Yeah.
This is just designed to see if we can poke this new court a little.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then final yeah. news, you guys, Trump doesn't love being president. He's suffering as much as we are.
Yeah, I know. And we knew that.
And we knew
he
that.
He didn't want to be president. Now that he is, he doesn't like it.
But there are a few.
It's hard work.
There are a few things that he likes.
Yeah, perks. He likes perks.
He likes
He's
some
a man
of the
who
perks.
Likes perks. And you know what? Look, I like perks.
Yeah. According Everybody. To Maggie Haberman, these
who
are
knows?
The things. She knows because he constantly invites her to interview him, hoping upon hope that she'll write a positive story, and she never does.
Yeah.
These are the things he loves. He enjoys the title, Mr. President.
Yes.
He enjoys Air Force One.
Sure.
Marine One.
Yes.
The big car.
The big car.
Having all the Secret Service. And his Diet Coke Bell.
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
The toys.
The toys.
He enjoys
the
toys.
He enjoys the toys. Yeah.
The plane.
The plane.
The helicopter.
The helicopter.
The car.
The car.
Yeah. Like if you were a small child,
these are
you were
things.
Like toys and soda.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what you're looking for.
That's what you're looking. It's yeah. like if they could add a roller rink into the.
Sure.
I mean, that would
yeah.
kill it.
Yeah.
You know? He could have birthday parties in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's the presidenting part, that's less fun.
No. Doesn't like that.
No.
It's the working part of
the
it.
The working
actually.
Part is hard.
The job.
Yeah, the job part. The part where he gets catered to because of the job.
That's
the best.
That's what he's into.
The greatest.
Yep.
And that's the news this week.
There it is.
Will,
I really want to get to a point in my life where I can have a Diet Coke Bell.
I don't because I hate Diet Coke. I think it's gross.
I don't want a helicopter because
no.
helicopters
They're
scare
scary.
The shit out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
the plane
even want
would be fine.
I
guess.
I mean be fine, but I don't necessarily need one.
But personal.
I'm
no,
like fine
no.
having a flying commercial. Like I'm not too good
right.
for a commercial plane.
Sure. But a Diet Coke Bell I could go.
And
for.
I'm not even after a big car. I just want a Fiat. You know?
Right.
But the Diet Coke Bell, if it could be a seltzer bell, I'd be all in.
Yeah, sure.
You know? I mean, if it's tailorable to your
it
desires.
Seems like it could be.
Yeah. Then I'm definitely in.
Yeah.
So maybe I should become the president.
You
solved.
Should. There it is.
There it is.
Yeah.
On that note, bye. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.